Hey there, this is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Welcome to The Money Show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you got a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, then this is the show that you're very lucky to stumble upon, because the guy across the table from me, Gregory Ricks, is a financial advisor. In fact, that's what he's been doing all day. Took a small little break to go eat, and then he comes here to help you with your I don't know. I'm just assuming you ate dinner. Did you eat dinner yet tonight?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I did have lunch at Spitali's. Had that half-price hamburger. Cheeseburger.
Oh, that's right. Half-price burgers on Wednesdays. So you did go.
Yeah, late lunch. Had to bolt up to the Baton Rouge office this morning. Had a lot going on.
Hey, how's that looking up there? I haven't got
to
see it yet.
Man, that is an awesome office we have up there. I'm like, might be outside of the Metairie main office. It's probably my favorite, the Baton Rouge. Love that office.
Hey, so events are happening. The Wine, Wisdom, and Food is up to a wait list now, the one that's happening next week. So what are you talking about there? Why is this so popular? And when are you having the next one is really what I'm getting to.
I think we were looking at that. I think it's going to be first week in August, the second one. We just couldn't get it to fit in the calendar. I wanted to do another one in July. We just couldn't get it worked out for that. You know, just we're doing a lot of events. But we'll get news out on that, I guess, next week on the specific date. And we can just go ahead and fill it up as well. I'm excited about that. The Wine, Wisdom, and Food coming up next week is going to be full and fun. And I'm looking forward to sharing some wine tips again, making new friends. And we're going to talk about the Invest 50-50 philosophy now with the tactical approach added. And, you know, that tax thing, you know, the thing, taxes going up.
You mean taxes?
But yeah, it's going up. So that's what they say. So I like always, whether it's going up or not, you know what? Creating efficiency with taxes creates margins. So yeah, we're talking about that. Wes Blanchard's going to pop in, share a few estate planning tips. It's going to be an awesome evening.
All right, so that's next week. Sign up at gregoryricks.com. Call the office.
So, yeah, you know, signing up, you might as well just go ahead and sign up, get on wait list. That's going to get you into the next one in front of everybody else.
The next Medicare event, now that's also happening next week, but it's next Thursday. That's past the halfway point as far as filling up the Gregory Ricks & Associates event space. It's going to be for 11 a.m. on Thursday. For anyone who's getting close to Medicare age and you got those questions, do I need to turn it on if I'm still working? What are these different parts? And in fact, I read somewhere, I think it was a link off of the GregoryRicks.com news blog, where between you and your spouse, the different scenarios you can choose between Medicare, 33 different paths.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. So
it's an important one, because you have decisions. Like, there's two things we have to make decisions on in life that's going to impact us for a long time. One, Social Security. Huge, huge. And it doesn't start itself. Medicare. You're talking about making decisions on your healthcare coverage probably for 30 years. Yeah. Well, if you turn it on Medicare at 65 and live to 70, 95, that's 30 years. Okay, you might not quite make it, you think, but you might be there longer. Big decision.
All right. And then that other program that you have to make a decision on, Social Security. There's an event for that coming up June 22nd, also at the Gregory Ricks & Associates event space, 11 a.m. Check out all these events at GregoryRicks.com. Follow the events tab. You know, if you follow on Facebook or Twitter and you put an alert up, then you'll be alerted when the events are happening. Go ahead and do that. That makes it easier on everyone. You ready for the numbers?
Not yet. We got to talk about the number to call into the shows, 504-260-0999. Five, join the conversation. Let's talk about Social Security, retirement, that old 401k, step-up basis, taxes. Call 504-260-0995 and reach out to us through the Facebook Winning at Life page. You can watch the show right now, and also that Winning at Life app. Simplify your life. Get it. You can text, email, call the show, connect to the Winning at Life Nation. Stream audio as well. Now we can do
that. All right.
I know, you're just like on edge to get it done.
Hey, I like it when you're the professional broadcaster sometimes. All right, welcome to the numbers segment.
Well, I appreciate you getting into the events. I'm excited about all the getting back to normal.
more excited than the markets. This is where we tell you what happened in the financial world today. And it's kind of ugly. It wasn't drastic. It wasn't a catastrophe. It wasn't that bad, but it was disappointing. The markets, basically all three of our major indices, just stair-stepped their way down for the majority of the day. But it wasn't that bad. So the Dow Jones was down, but I'm not going to cry too much when you see that it's only down 0.2%. The NASDAQ was down about 0.1%. Oh, no, I'm saying these upside down. The S&P was down 0.2%. NASDAQ down 0.1%. Dow Jones was down almost 0.5%.
Well, meme stock mania that dominated trading yesterday returned somewhat today through retail, though retail traders appeared to pivot on which names they preferred. Maybe they're just getting too many choices in the gumbo.
Well, how
what do I scoop next?
How many stocks can they prop up? Because it's a populist movement.
Yeah, so that's becoming the thing. Clover Health, which soared 85% yesterday, lost 23.6% today. Clean Energy Fuels, a California-based natural gas producer, saw intense buying. They were the gumbo ingredient of flavor today. Stock rallied 31.5% by the close. While the major indices have been trapped under records for weeks, investors may opt to put money to work tomorrow after the Labor Department publishes its upcoming consumer price index data. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect the May CPI report to show prices rose 4.7% year over year after April's increase of 4.2%. So expectation is for it to be a bit higher. And then, of course, you know who we're waiting on next week? Yeah, the FOMC meeting, Federal Reserve. Are they going to have that discussion we're predicting? And I think they are, about possibly dialing back asset purchases sometime in the future. They're going to actually discuss
it. They're going to talk about having the conversation. They're going to talk about discussing it. They're going to discuss discussing it.
Some way. It's, and I don't know, they may, you know, briefly touch on it. You know, if is this now I have to look up, is this one of those where there's a podium? Whichever, what's more important, in a few weeks, they'll release the notes of the meeting. That's what I want to see.
What a song and dance this whole thing is. This is no way to run a government.
But it is the government we have. Mortgage rates drop, but not enough to price out, not enough for priced out home buyers. Biden revokes and replaces Trump executive orders that ban TikTok. Do you have TikTok on your phone?
I had it on my previous phone. I haven't added it to this one.
You've got a new phone? When did you get that?
Last spring. In 2020.
Like, you make it like.
I had it until February of last year. I did have TikTok on my phone.
Okay, so there's a timeline. No, I don't have it. Don't see a need for it. You know, I think when the kids send me a TikTok in text, then I watch it and it shows up on something. It shows up somewhere. I look at it. Then it starts wanting me to do something. Then I just delete that whatever opened. I don't know if it's on Facebook, Twitter, or something. I'm like, but I'm not downloading TikTok. No personal reason, no bias or anything. I'm just like, I just don't see it as my thing. Facebook extends its work-at-home policy to most employees. And Spirit Airlines plans big Miami debut as airlines battle for Florida. I know that is like the airline that's moving into the low-pricing section, isn't it? I believe they're a discounter out there. And Major League Baseball is working to combat cheating after sticky baseballs become a concern. Sticky. I think that's a kind of... I thought that scuffed balls and sticky balls, I thought always has been a concern. You?
Well, the thing that really stinks is this ruins it for who? The gamblers. They want a fair game because that's how they come out ahead, is kind of...
Like sign stealing is not good for bettors?
No, sign stealing is horrible for bettors because... All other things being the equal, then those guys make some money and it's just, you know, everything works out. But when you have people cheating, it also takes the fun out of the whole integrity of watching the game, because now you're like, okay, well, if they're cheating, who stands to benefit from this? Well, the bettors. You know, so is this whole game corrupt? Now it's not worth watching. I'm watching a corrupt baseball game, not a baseball game. It does. It ruins the product.
Yeah, back to Spirit Airlines. Budget airline Spirit, based in Miramar, Florida, said late Tuesday it plans to start offering flights starting in October in 30 cities, including New York, Cleveland, Denver. Others include Cali, Medellin, Colombia, Port-au-Prince. Man, they're spreading out. Yeah. And, you know, they're... Where some of where Southwest is expanding, they're expanding too. So another discounter in the market. I noticed when I went to the airport a few weeks back, that area was pretty busy in the morning, like lines. I said, okay.
Is it Southwest or Spirit?
Spirit.
Okay.
Note to self, avoid that. You know, lines. And like I don't want to go there.
What I've noticed is there's the bargain airline that's Southwest, and then under that you're in what I consider the basement airlines, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's like Frontier and Spirit, where they make you load your own bags underneath the plane and you get like a $5 discount if you hand out the pretzels. And I'll fly that's fine by me, just save me a couple bucks.
We had interest rates drop today. 10-year treasury, get this, 1.488%. So I don't know how that translated to 30-year mortgages, but maybe go lock one in. Hey, can I still lock it today? Don't know what it's going to do tomorrow. Crude oil's at $69.77. Brent crude, $72.07. Gold, off a little bit, $1,890.60. Silver, as well, off a little bit, $27.92. But I heard GM's got a little price increase, something to do with CAFE standards.
GM said their trucks are losing a fuel economy feature due to the chip shortage. That's what they're calling it, a fuel economy feature.
So what's causing that?
Okay, so the shortage is chips. One of the things that these chips are used in is that very annoying thing that everyone hates, the start-stop feature. Where in some of the newest cars that you can buy, when you slow down to go do a full stop at a stop sign, your engine will cut off. And about the time you lift off on the brake, it'll turn back on and you can start driving. So you don't really miss any action. Well,
I don't know about it turning off because I've got one of those vehicles that does that. But when you come to a stop, that engine turns off. Mm-hmm. When you let up, not completely come up, but you let up, it'll come back on. It senses that. Tell you what, then come get my chip and put it in somebody else's vehicle. If they're short of chips, I'll donate.
Because you're not a fan, right?
I am not a fan. I'll even pay them to come get the chip.
I've never heard anyone say anything positive about a start-stop feature on their car. I've never owned a car with it, so I'm going secondhand information, and it's been 100% against.
I don't know about the boys. My wife and our daughter, they don't have a problem with it. To me, it's annoying. I just kind of always like that engine ready to go. Well, I'm like old school.
The thought process is if every time you stop, you get two or three extra seconds without the engine on, all this adds up over thousands of hours of driving, and you probably add theoretically 1 mile per gallon to the efficiency of the vehicle you're driving. But that 1 mile per gallon means something to GM.
It means something to GM, but maybe not us. You know what I worry about? Not going back to old school, you know, I was in high school working on cars back in the day. You know what we used to have trouble with a lot? Two primary things that deal with electricity on cars, the alternator and the starters. You know what? When that thing cuts off and cuts back on, what I think, you're putting more wear on my starter, and now I'm going to have a problem with it down the road when I really need it to start. It's going to like, you know, we're done. You did too many stop starts.
Right. How many times?
That's what I think of when it stops. It's like, oh no, now it's got to start again. That's what I think. Am I wrong? I don't know.
Probably not. But the way GM sees it is, okay, our CAFE standards, the fuel efficiency standards, aren't up to par on these cars. Because look, the trucks that they're doing this to, Tahoe, Suburban, Yukon, Escalade, Silverado, and GMC Sierra.
So do you have a difference, the effect of not having the chip? How much is that making for mile per gallon? It's going to impact city driving, not highway. Won't impact highway at all.
Okay, it's on paper, it's 1 mile per gallon. But since all of these are far below CAFE standards, for every mile per gallon you're below that, you get a penalty, so to speak. It's through the tax code. But it's written to incentivize people or these companies to have your cars as fuel efficient as possible. That's why they like selling Camrys and Corollas and Celicas and the little guys so much. They don't have to worry about
that. Well, what they really like selling is trucks and SUVs. Bigger, the better, more profit. But yeah, they've got to sell these others. That's why it's not such a bad thing for them to get hybrids into the mix or electric cars. What does it do? It goes by their fleet, their overall fleet.
Tax planning.
Yeah, so it increases the mileage of the overall fleet of cars that they're building. And that's why if you buy a ZL1 1LE Camaro for the racetrack, it's street legal car, it's not getting very good mileage, big horsepower. They're going to single that out and charge you a fuel surcharge, so you're going to pay a premium just for that car because they're like, oh, we're not having this count in our fleet. You're going to have to pay that penalty. Just everybody might not be aware of that.
All right, lumber's still in stratospheric prices. It's set to get a little bit worse. The Biden administration is repealing an emergency tax cut on lumber from Canada. This was part of the little tit for tat.
When's this tax going up? Because I've got to go get some 2x4s from my store.
I don't know what the time is on this one.
Need to hurry.
The Commerce Department announced last Friday.
Not hurry up and tell me. It's just we got to hurry.
Yeah.
Get so some lumber.
These are anti-dumping tariffs on Canadian lumber. It was slashed from 18.32% to 18.99% last fall in an emergency move by the Trump administration to combat skyrocketing lumber prices. They're like, least we can do is.
I read today kind of the conversation is prices are going to come down in the article I read, and probably not to where it was, which makes me think they're listening to us on the show here. Right. And I kind of think that. And they said, and if you can wait to build or whatever you're wanting to do, not a bad idea to pause. And that's with the expectation that it's going to go down, but it's not going to go to where it was. So how long is that? We don't know how long is it going to take to catch up, but this chip shortage is going to go well into 2022, by the way.
Okay.
So we've got something. Catching up is going to be a while on a lot of things.
Our restaurant of the week in the Save Our Nola restaurants and bars is Spitali's Deli. It's a nice little place in Metairie that's not too far from the Gregory Rickson Associates office in Metairie. And Gregory actually frequents the place. We highly recommend Wednesdays because burgers are half price on Wednesdays. Go check it out. It's on Division Street, right in the middle of Metairie. I mean, it's really in the middle of everything. Okay, so we're going to set up our next talk on Social Security here by finishing a conversation that was started. We're going to go all the way back in time to yesterday. And Keith in River Ridge called. It was right before we were going into a break, but it was an easy question that had an easy answer. And then when we came back from break, there was more calls. But Gregory actually talked about some stuff on the break that he wishes he had time to add. So we're going to give him the chance to add it now. This is just like a 40-second setup here. Keith in River Ridge, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Keith?
Yes. So my question is when you reach full retirement age and you decide to take your Social Security money, even though you still have a high-paying job, does your Social Security amount per month go up after a full year of working?
Well, remember, they use your best 35 years. So even though you've turned on Social Security and you're still working, and let's say you're maxing out that Social Security because you're making more than $140,000 a year, yeah, you are still positively impacting your Social Security benefits. It's a yes.
Okay, so that's what was on yesterday's show before we were so rudely interrupted by a commercial break. But you also like to add in that, because you said it on the break there, the guy listening didn't hear, but I heard it. You said something you got to remember is that you can never hurt your benefit by continuing to work past full retirement age.
You retiring early, you can't hurt your benefits. You can increase your benefits, but working extra, definitely you can't hurt it. You can have lower income in continuing to work years, but they're still using your best 35. It isn't your last 35, it's your best 35, and they're also inflation adjusted. And you could take a lower income job and kind of like, yeah, I'm going to semi-retire. I just want to rent out jet skis. Okay, cool. You can do that. And you're not going to hurt your Social Security benefits, but you can increase them and replace lower years with extra years. One of the key things, you know what, one of the best ways to maximize your Social Security? Work 35 years. Because if you work less than 35 years, say 30 years, how do they calculate it? Well, they'll plug in zero for the other 5 years and then average it. So important point to know.
All right. So thank you to Keith in River Ridge, working past full retirement age. If I had more time with him, I like to ask people in that scenario, if you're still working, why are you turning it on at full retirement age? Why not delay till 70? But, you know, there's reasons for that. I've seen you okay people turning it on while they still work.
I know. And yeah, I remember that Colin reason. I usually ask more questions. Why? We were going to break.
All right. Social Security event. You have one coming up June 22nd. It's going to be at the Gregory Ricks and Associates event space in Metairie at 11 a.m. Info on that at gregoryricks.com. Did you have a Social Security story that you wanted to bring up? Because I have a Social Security article while we're on the topic.
I'll let you lead on this Social Security article. But yeah, we've got a Social Security event coming up, and we're going to talk about when to turn on Social Security benefit. How to make that decision. Spousal benefits and survivor benefits are kind of the focus topics of that one coming up in a few weeks.
All right, so this is a great article if you're walking up to about age 60-ish and you're getting into that scenario where you got to start thinking about when you're turning on your Social Security benefits. Of course, we prefer whatever your age to figure it out now and go ahead and have some sort of plan there and adjust as you go along. But Diane Matiwa from The Motley Fool, which is a pretty solid outlet. We don't argue with much that they put out. She says there's four things you must know before claiming your Social Security benefits. There's basically four questions you have to answer yourself before you know when you want to turn it on. First off, you have to know what your full retirement age is. And that's sort of a moving target. Do you have that memorized? It's up to like 1954, it's one age, and then intermittently up to 1960.
Yeah, you need to know your FRA. What's the next one? Full retirement age. Look, let me add in. You do need to know that. Why? There's no income test when you turn it on at that age. And what's important also, besides you get 100%, and you could keep working while turning it on, but you get your full 100% of your benefit. And Social Security looks at your Social Security benefit is that benefit at your full retirement age.
The next thing you must know before you turn on your Social Security benefit is an estimate of your life expectancy. And that's a real nice way to say how long you think you're going to live.
I think that's really important. I kind of do that a little bit differently from my take on that, but we'll keep rolling with that. But FRA is important and life expectancy. When I spoke at the estate planning workshop the other day, that was one of the points I made to them is you've got to know how long do you think you're going to live as part of a retirement decision. It's really important. SSA.gov has calculators over there. They have a longevity estimator as well. But you can look at how's your health? Are you 65 is part of that question. And how long did your parents live? And come up with a number. And then I think you're going to live a bit longer than that.
All right. The third question you need to ask yourself before you know when to turn on Social Security is, how much do you have saved? So it's talking about assets that you've accumulated that you're going to be able to get income from besides Social Security. That's probably pretty huge.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had a conversation the other day impromptu with a gentleman that attended the estate planning event, and we were kind of talking about his investments, and he gave me the price of the stock. He holds a lot of company stock and how many shares. And I said, yeah, you've got about $250,000. He said, well, I don't know. I'd have to do the math. I said, yeah, you got about $250,000. I said, yeah. We're talking about income and so forth. And he doesn't have a pension. I said, well, that part's worth about $1,000 a month to you. He looked, well, where did you come with that at? Yeah, that's about 5%. Assuming you're taking 5% off assets, because he's real big on dividend generating. He said, well, you know, the dividend's better than 5%. I said, okay, so it's worth 5% to you. Is that getting it done? No. So you see where I'm going.
I hear you. All right, going through the four questions you must know before claiming Social Security, according to the Motley Fool. Number four, whether or not you'll still be working. Sounds just like Keith and River Ridge situation. He wants to turn it on and continue working. But that could be the difference on whether you should turn it on or not, especially if you're thinking of turning it on early.
A lot of people plan for doing consulting, another job, or a gig job. And I think, and that's nice to do, but I also think you should plan for retirement that you're not going to do that. Do an A-B thing. Okay, if the side job works out, but then how long are you going to do that side job? Sometimes that might not be realistic. It may not work out to get that work. Or at some point you say, you know what, I'm done without this. But it might be because you really need the money to make things go, but you should think about, what does it look like if I'm not doing that? So run through the four things again. The last one's gig, side work.
Yeah, if you're still going to be
working.
How
much you have in assets.
Right, your life expectancy and your full retirement age.
Life expectancy and full retirement age. Well, here's the number that's missing from that.
Okay.
When are you going to retire? You do have to know your FRA in turn, but that when you're retiring might be more impactive on when you're turning on Social Security also. Should know the FRA, so there should be a fifth thing. The first, I think, when do you plan to retire? And then add those other four to it.
You know, it's rare that I hear you go through someone's situation like this and not ask them about what's their spousal situation. Are you married? Are you divorced? Do you have a deceased ex-spouse? That might be something.
Well, once again, if we're sitting down and talking about that, once again, I was referencing that article, but the other question, and you hear me ask that all the time on the show, like, are you married? When a caller calls, are you married? Because that is a consideration. Hey, how about three Social Security do-overs? Mary Beth Franklin, I've got this piece from her over at Investment News. She's talking about some strategies that can be helpful for clients who have regrets over the timing of their Social Security decision. They claimed early rather than holding out for a bigger check or waited longer than necessary. This could be solving regrets of waiting too long to start it. And she kind of references there's three do-overs that an individual can use to change Social Security claiming decision after the fact. Each has specific rules. The strategies have sparked renewed interest in the wake of the COVID pandemic, she says. The first do-over involves withdrawing an application for Social Security benefits. Anyone can withdraw their application in the first 12 months of claiming the benefits by filing, and we've not talked about this before, filing Form 521.
Is this the Mulligan form?
It's SSA 521, Request for Withdrawal of Application. So there's an actual form. You're in the first, it's a two-page form, and half of the second page is a lot of room for additional remarks, and the back half is a privacy statement takes up the other half. So really, it's just a one-page document. Thank goodness you can sign on the first page too, but it's two pages here, but it's really a one-page form to undo that Social Security decision. So Form 521 is the document.
Is this one of these things where you have to give the money back?
Yeah. It's kind of the give the money back. Yeah. And that's a good question because she notes here, but there's a catch. You must repay any benefits that you have received, including those of any family members who have been collecting benefits on your earnings record, such as a spouse or minor child. Wow. That could get, yeah. Could add up. You can only withdraw your application for the benefits once, but you can apply for benefits again later when the monthly amount would be larger. So another option would be if you're repaying Social Security benefits would create a financial hardship, there's another do-over option. This is easier. You don't have to pay back, but an individual must wait until he or she reaches full retirement age or later. At that point, a client can suspend his or her Social Security benefit. The good news is people who suspend their benefits do not have to repay anything. The bad news is their monthly Social Security benefits stop, and so does those of any dependent family members, except a divorced spouse. Remember, you only have to be eligible to turn it on. A divorced spouse, if they're of age, can draw off of your record as long as you were eligible to draw Social Security benefits. During the suspension, benefits earn delayed retirement credits of 2/3 of 1% for a total of 8% per year. Suspended benefits would automatically resume. So if you suspend, they will restart at age 70. So a little bit of help there. And then there's one other. The third option involves requesting a lump sum. This is where you're like, you know, we should have started that thing months ago. We should have started it months ago. Let's start it. Start it now. Well, you can go back six months retroactive. You must be of full retirement age or older to request a lump sum payout, and retroactive benefits cannot begin before full retirement age. Let me throw something else in there. If you had made a request of interest in starting your benefits, but not, and you're before age or full retirement age, because you made a request, that can set a date of where it can go back up to 6 months and start it. Like you call and inquire, I'm thinking about starting my benefits. Should I start benefits? I don't know. I'd like to, but I can't decide today. And a couple months later, you think, you know what? I'm starting. You call them back up. Yeah, you can start on that date you first inquired about it.
Get a couple extra months maybe.
Yeah, get a few extra months in that situation. And that goes for any age, that if you make that inquiry there, but you can't just out the blue, yeah, I want to start 6 months back. If you're under FRA, you just can't call up and say, yeah, I want 6 months ago. Not happening.
All right. You don't get a whole lot of do-overs out of the government.
No, there's not much do-overs anymore. What's interesting is the suspension gives you some benefit growth without having to pay it back.
And that's for if you retired, then somebody came and they gave you an offer you can't refuse and you had to go back to work because it was just too much. You didn't need it. Might as well suspend it and let it grow.
Yeah. Once again, covering that during the suspension, benefits earn delayed retirement credits of 2/3 of 1% per month. That's about 8% a year up to age 70. Suspended benefits, and we had somebody call about this. Like, I was wanting to restarted at 70 and a half, and I think it was somebody that suspended, and they wanted it to start it. No, it was file and suspend, so the spouse could turn on because they were born before 51. They could do that. I'm sorry, before January 1 of 1954. So they were wanting to do the file and suspend and then turn it on at 70 and a half because they wanted to get the 6 months delayed, you know. They like saving money, giving somebody else their money to use for 6 months and get it returned later for 0%.
It's a weird hobby.
That's kind of what they were doing. But the thing is, if you've previously turned it on, suspended it, or happened to have been one of those in the past to do file and suspend, it's automatically turning on at age 70. So you can't mess that up. See, they help you out that way.
And it should. That's where it maxes out. There's no real benefit.
There is no benefit in delaying beyond age 70 for anybody.
You're just doing.
Why would you save money at 0%? You know, you could actually go at negative interest rates over in Europe still. Save money if you like doing that kind of thing.
What's going on in Europe? All right, 504-260-0995 if you want to squeeze in a call. Saw that McDonald's at 10 Chicago restaurants is testing a new ordering machine that
kiosk.
Yes, it reads your voice. This is voice ordering technology, so you don't have to hit the pad. And that makes a difference for what? For drive-thru. Because, you know, it's hard if you got to pull up and, like, type in your order on the drive-thru. If you could just yell it at that dude
at the box. I don't type in anything on drive-thrus.
No one does. But the kiosk in the lobby are a little more obvious because you type in your order with a touchscreen.
They do? I've not seen one of those.
Man, they've had that at the Danny and Clyde's on the North Shore since 2006.
I thought we were saying McDonald's.
Right, this is McDonald's. So they're testing inside the touchscreens for the kiosk, but for outside, they're testing a voice automated voice ordering system at 10 Chicago restaurants. And right now, the voice ordering technology has an 85% accuracy rate, but I think that probably beats the human beings that are taking my order at McDonald's lately.
I kind of feel the humans doing it's about the same.
Right. So if you're McDonald's...
I don't know. That's kind of like give me that automatic stop engine when I get to a red light. I kind of like some banter back and forth. Could you repeat that again?
I hate
no, I changed my mind. I want it to be a large chocolate shake instead of a small lemonade. And no onions. No onions. Make sure there's no onions.
Soon, because this is new technology, the robots will be better at the humans and you will take that statement back. You will be upset whenever you have to talk to a human being on the other side of the drive-thru.
I sure hope the computer doesn't get garbled. Don't you hate it when you're a drive-thru and you get like, could you repeat that again?
Like there's bandwidth issues or something?
No, it's not clear. It's just not clear.
Well, I, for one, welcome our robot overlords, Gregory. And I'm looking forward to the golden age of robot-human
cooperation.
Before
we run out of time, I don't know. I like keeping humans working, not robots. But, you know, the fun ones, I think, Canes drive-thru. They have these little sayings. And I can't think of it, but it's fun when you drive up.
Chicken.
Yeah, chicken licking, what you picking. Yeah.
All right, if you have a need for a financial advisor, start your search with Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrencies. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.